I guess my first question to kind of get things started would be to talk a little bit about the ways in which you identify or don't identify with the disability discourses that kind of surround mental health issues now. Do you see the things that you go through in your lived experience as something that that discourse can kind of make space for, or is there something else that you find more helpful?
I think I find the term disability to actually specifically for what I'm going through to be pretty useful, just because of the fact that a lot of the times the issue for me is like not feeling validated because it's invisible, and especially with like any sort of medical establishment. And so having some sort of term and some sort of like way to talk about it and like validate it, and like disability also is a broader category, so I find that like some of the conversations that maybe I can have with people are like less narrowed in. You can kind of find a lot more like connections based on that sort of like broader category.
I guess I've had like a lot of trouble sort of dealing with those feelings around I guess being like categorized as like having a disability, or also like not being categorized, just in terms of like the institutional powers that kind of like gatekeep what is considered a disability and like what isn't. And I find that to be kind of difficult, because I think everyone has, you know, or like people who are going through certain issues, whether it's like mental health or like chronic pain issues, et cetera, like can sometimes have like trouble sort of like navigating that institution. So I guess like while I don't necessarily feel a problem with like the term itself, or like, you know, I think things that are really great, like people being able to come together and sort of talk about these things, or like to allow an avenue for that, is really important. I guess I just have a bit more of a bone to pick with like the institutional powers that sort of get to decide who is, has an, or what we would call like an acceptable or like non-acceptable, and like also just like how society can like frame those conversations. So yeah, it can be a little sort of difficult to navigate, and I don't think that it always is very kind to people who are maybe like more marginalized and have a lot of trouble going through those things, or like finding ways to navigate those spaces. So I would really love for there to be maybe like more of a, or something that I like found or explored as a person of color, to really explore those ideas of like collective care and collective healing, and understanding that like there are ways to validate like that disability without necessarily having to go through an institutional power. I mean, I think they all have their strengths and weaknesses, but I think for me, like, a focus on that collective care has been really, like, integral to, like, a healing process, I guess, or some semblance of a healing process.
In which ways do you think, like, the stigma around your, whatever you have been diagnosed or whether you haven't, in which ways do you think that stigma around it affects your more intimate relationships, or like the ways in which you relate to other people? Because I think that's also something that's really hard. It's easier to say that you are empathetic towards someone with, you know, mental health issues, but when the realities of those issues actually manifest themselves, it's kind of hard to deal with. So if anyone has any thoughts on that.
In regards to like BPD and personal relationships and how stigma affects that, I personally found that like as someone with BPD, I feel that there's that the onus is put on me to reduce the stigma and like remove any ideas from like intimate people's like minds, like remove the ideas that like people with BPD are like abusive, manipulative, like dangerous, aggressive, like all these kinds of words. When actually I think that like I personally, and I think a lot of other like people with any with like any like illness that's like affecting your behavior, like you do sometimes like end up like repeating those things because they are like parts of your illness. And I feel like the problem with constantly trying to reduce stigma to, like, enable relationships is that, like, you don't get to, like, address that, like, actually, like, oh, these things are shitty. I think it also, like, relates back to what you were saying about, like, we either, like, hyper-glorify it or, mm-hmm. like, and it's, like, this glorification that's, like, where everyone, like, where you see, like, borderline saying, like, oh, we're not, like, manipulative or abusive, like, those other, like, bad, like, mentally ill people. And it's, like, actually, like, no, like, I have been those things. I do those things. I will do those things. But, like, and not talking about it makes them keep happening, and it, like, makes the shittiness keep happening. So, yeah.
I guess to just, like, sort of, like, respond or, like, follow that thread of thought of, like, you know, thinking a lot about, like, who is allowed to heal. And I find that, like, what you were saying of that idea of sort of categorizing people in this way, like, or, you know, not associating yourself with other people with that have this illness, or not on, like, also accepting the fact that, like, a lot of people have different ranges of, like, how it can affect them, or, like, you know, not everyone will feel all the same symptoms or, like, exhibit all the same symptoms. And if they, you know, and if you are exhibiting those things, that it's also, like, okay, but it's also okay to want to heal from that and to, like, move forward from that. So I kind of feel like there's, like, that weird disconnect between, like, what is, like, how are people with mental illness allowed to heal, like, in that really, like, sort of weird way of, like, you're allowed to heal in this way, but you still have to ascribe to these labels of these things. And you're like, okay, well, that's, like, not very helpful to me to, like, be able to, like, move forward in any way. And just, yeah, like, I think especially for people who feel like are in my experience as someone who is, like, racialized and who, like, presents as femme, for some reason, like, what is, or the, like, symptoms of an illness change. And I think that that's, like, super ridiculous and also just very, like, not nuanced in the ways that it should be, and, like, the ways that, like, mental illness can affect queer people. And I feel like there's just, like, no room for that, you know, or, like, I guess for ADD, male identifying folks are supposed to exhibit ADD in a different way that femmes are supposed to, you know, I guess, experience ADD. And I feel like that was, like, a really big hindrance into understanding what really is going on. Because as someone who identifies as non-binary, I was kind of just like, okay, so I, like, do I, you know, like, no doctor wanted to give me an official diagnosis because I was non-binary, and, like, still to this day I have no diagnosis because they can't agree on what kind of ADD symptoms I have based on my, like, gender identity. And that's, like, a super fucked up, like, really weird dynamic to have with someone. And I don't know, for me, it, like, put a lot of, I mean, already, like, dealing with that, I felt like you said, it, like, puts the onus on you, like, as someone who's, like, dealing with this to figure it out. And they're like, well, we don't know, so good luck, and I hope you figure this thing out. Like, and you're like, I am struggling, this is why I came to see you. But, yeah, just, like, I don't know, I feel a lot of those feelings, and I feel like it makes it kind of hard to navigate relationships with other people, especially when, like, people want to sort of be like, okay, you have this thing, and I know what these things are. I looked up the symptoms online on WebMD, and, like, we're ready. Like, we can continue this relationship. And and you're like, no, this is, like, actually way more nuanced. And also, like, a lot of the time, mental health professionals don't always know what they're talking about. So what you read is not always, like, the line of, like, what is BPD or what is ADD. So it can kind of make it hard to deal with, like, interpersonal relationships when you have trouble understanding your own thoughts and feelings.
I got diagnosed with BPD, like, in a hospital, and it was, like, a noticeable change, like, afterwards, how the hospital staff would, like, treat me. It's, like, suddenly everything I said was, like, more likely to be a lie in their eyes. And I find that, like, wherever I go with BPD, they're like, oh. Oh, you're one of those. Oh, you're just looking for drugs, or you're just, like, looking for a doctor's note. Like, ooh, I don't know. And, I understand why people think that people with BPD are manipulative, but it's, like, actually, like, people with BPD aren't considered classically manipulative because we don't have the consistent emotions to, like, manipulate over, like, long term. We just, like, you know, we act. I don't know. Yeah, and then, like, the whole issue of, like, how much of your actions are, like, you're totally responsible for, like, the line between, like, fault and, like, not your fault with mental illness and BPD, because it's, like, essentially mostly an interpersonal relationship illness. And, like, I've dated people with BPD and without BPD, and I understand why there are so many forums for our ex-lovers online.
Yeah. So, for myself, like, I have my brain is scattered kind of set right now, so I have a hard time, like, having straight ideas. But, like, I feel like for myself, like, one of my big coping mechanisms in the past, like, X years is to, like, move from a place to another and, like, break, like, social circles and, like, really, like, start from the bottom, like, every X month, which, like, makes it really hard for me to, like, have, like, a follow-up with, like, counselors and went to a point where I could have a diagnosis. And for me, it was more, like, vocabulary and, like, meeting people and, like, discussions. And, yeah. And I think that for relationships, like, for myself, it's, like, it's a lot of shame. And, like, I think we're talking about that right now. Like, I come by as someone that's really, really chill. And, like people feel that for a little while and then it stops. And usually that's when the, like, relation stops. And I don't know. Like, I see myself going in patterns all the time of, like, being that chill person and then not being that chill person anymore and then starting over. And, yeah.
Yeah, I feel similarly for sure, and I think part of what's kind of made me want to re-identify with this diagnosis or this illness is coming out of a relationship that was abusive in nature, but in which I was gaslighted because kind of the symptoms of my borderline were, like, used by my ex-partner to, like, explain some of the ways in which he had acted or some of the things that he had said toward me. And that's hard because I do feel like I am manipulative sometimes. And I think even saying that comes with so much stigma, particularly as a woman of color. It comes with a lot of stigma. I'm already kind of politically active in a lot of ways that receive hatred and violence and also just, like, criticism, you know? And so dealing that with an intimate partner is really hard because then it becomes difficult to separate, you know, whose actions are whose, or what's causing which events to happen in a relationship. And I think the thing that I've struggled the most with my BPD has certainly been in the ways that I relate to people, for sure. And that gets really hard. Right now, I maybe can't even gauge it just because I'm not in the middle of it. But it's, like, a very visceral feeling where you're just, like, crying to the point that you're feeling like you're just leaking from your pores. And it's, like, a very dramatic and, like, tragic moment that I feel like is, like, typically so personal for myself. And I feel so isolated in those moments in which I, like, connect with my body and the ways that it's reacting in such a specific way.
For me, when I started having, body pain was, I, like, had a physical accident, and so, I, like, hit my head, and then that's what caused it, and so I think it was just, in my mind, there's, like, this very, like, demarcated line of difference between, like, there was, like, me before, there was, like, me after, and I'm just, like, I'm so constantly just, like, thinking about that person that I was before and being, like, how can I, like, get back to that? How can I just, like, be that person again? Because I'm, like, and I just feel, like, so much of, like, not a person anymore. I'm just, like, I was, like, so able to just, like, do everything that I wanted to. I felt, like, so in my body, so, like, powerful. And obviously that's not true, and that's not necessarily accurate, but it is, like, kind of this, like, projecting onto that past. But, yeah, I think just having that, like, makes it really hard to, like, feel present and feel, like, in the moment ever, because you're constantly just, like, thinking about this other person or this other, like, reality that you could be living, and that yours is just, like, never going to be good enough.
Like, a thing that's, like, not talked about often is, like, the way in which, like, certain illnesses, like, affect your memories, especially since we were talking about the, like, before and after thing. Like, I have no fucking clue where, like, my illness started. Like, I don't know. And just kind of, like, sometimes I wonder if there's, like, a point in, like, dwelling whether or not, like, I would have turned out this way if, like, one thing was different. And also, like, I don't remember so much from my past. And it's kind of, like, I don't know who I am because I don't have these memories where, like, I don't remember so much about myself. Like, what am I supposed to do with all of these blank spaces?
Yeah, I feel like after a diagnosis, you kind of, like, restructure the narrative of your life beforehand, and you're like, oh, everything all of a sudden makes, like, total sense, like, in the context of my illness. And I've sort of, like, moved away from thinking of it necessarily always as an illness, because I don't think that I, like, at a specific point, like, started acting like I had BPD. I feel like I developed, like, the maladjustments parts, like, my habits interpersonally and stuff over time, but I feel like I've always had a mind that is, like, a little bit too dysregulated emotionally, and I kind of think of that as, like, my identity more so than just illness. And I don't think I'd be, like, a creative person in the way that I am if I didn't have BPD and if I didn't, like, feel things the way I do.
Mm-hmm. For me, I feel like I got BPD as, like, a coping mechanism. And I personally believe that, like, I actually, like, looking at my family history, that, like, there was probably something else up, like, developmentally. But that, like, I don't know what that is anymore. Like, I'm 22 years old and, like, I feel like I can't get back to it. And that the way I coped with, like, whatever was going on then, like, kind of became BPD. I think it was, yeah, I think all of the, even though, like, BPD does not help me cope at all, actually does, like, the complete opposite. But, yeah, I think, like, BPD came out of coping mechanisms.
I guess I'm going to backtrack a little bit back to, like, memories and also this idea of, like, a different self, because that's something that I really identify with, and that not, like, who I was before, because I don't really think there was a before for me. Like, I think I'm just mentally ill, and that's okay. And, yeah, like, I kind of just identify as, like, it's me. It's always been me. But I do think about, like, wow, I wonder what my GPA would be if I didn't have this. And also, like, the memories, like, who, what happened. And I've been in a long-term relationship for 5 years now. And that's, I guess, like, the most reliable way of me to actually remember things. And I find it a lot of the time, especially with, like, bipolar, which is so episodic, being like, this is the worst I've ever felt. And he's like, is it, though? Which sounds insensitive, but actually, like, has really helped me in being like, wow, like, I have felt this way before. Like, this is a symptom of what I go through. And, but yeah, it's whack being like, what I am now, what I was like a month ago in a different episode, like, they're like two different people doing, like, inhabiting the same body, but, like, doing the same things. And it's a lot.
It's really weird the way that, like, I think a lot of your, or at least my, like, thoughts around my experiences, like, really converge. And it's, like, everything sort of becomes one thing, and my experience of like physical health and mental health sort of become one, and it just becomes this like really vicious cycle where I'm like, I'm in pain, and then I associate that with like so many other things, and then I like, it becomes depression, it becomes anxiety, and then it's like everything is just like one thing. And also like my memories, I find like thinking of like the past also like sometimes really scary, especially periods when I was like really, really depressed and like maybe having like suicidal thoughts or something, and associating that with like my physical conditions, and then I start feeling those physical conditions again, and it like triggers again those like fear of like those. A lot of the times I end up just really remembering the bad things too, and I remember like how shitty I felt and how I felt like the whole world was crumbling around me and I didn't have anything to hold on to, and I don't remember like anything that's positive. So
yeah, and I was speaking of splitting, I feel like people split on us, you know, because we can, like, first off, yeah, because, like, we can, like, be very understanding and empathetic and warm, and I think, like, in the same way that it doesn't make sense in a BPD mind how, like, you know, someone who can make you feel loved can make you feel like shit. You know, so they have to be two separate people. I don't think it makes sense to people around us how someone who can be so, like, warm and caring can be, like, what seems, like, really cruel.
I feel like people with BPD are, like, good listeners. And, like, open space and, like, give a lot of space for people to, like, talk as a way to, I don't know, for myself to, like, create closeness. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people are really welcoming of that, and they're not welcoming of when it's no more giving and it's more asking. Yeah.
But I feel like it's, like, really good to talk to other people with BPD and, like, have relationships with them, because, like, for me, like, watching how, like, my BPD behaviors affect someone who experiences emotions in a similar way to me kind of helps me think about how I treat people more responsibly.
I guess, like, the phrase that stuck with me is, like, everybody has the capacity to be harmed just as, like, everybody has the capacity to heal. And, like, that for me was, like, kind of really changing in, like, being able to, I guess, negotiate that vulnerability a little bit more. And to also, I guess, be able to sort of ground myself in a way that I'm, like, okay, like, yes, sometimes I can exhibit these, like, really abusive or, like, manipulative behaviors, but I can also, you know, do some really good things, like listening, and, you know, I have a capacity for communication, and so I think there's, you know, there's good things, and there's things that are maybe not so helpful, but I feel like engaging in that in a way that isn't so, like, linear or so, like, good, bad, you know, that is more like, I can feel these things and I can also feel these other things, and, like, depending on, you know, where I am situated in the environment, like, these can be either good or bad or whatever. They may just also be a thing.